What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, July 12th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside my Irish cream.
What up?
Danny O'Dwyer. What up?
What up?
What up, bruh?
Hump day, more like cream day.
They kind of go hand in hand, though, don't they?
Listen to that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How you been doing?
I've been doing good. I got my first taste of delicious chicken dinner yesterday.
You're playing the Battlegrounds.
Oh, yeah.
So how long have you been playing the Battlegrounds?
Ooh, like before, I hadn't played in a month leading up to yesterday because I was E3
and all that
nonsense. But before that, I've been playing for like probably a good month. Probably.
And you just got your first one because it's starting to look easy. I see you. I see Witta. I see Alfredo. I see everybody. Oh, winner. Gus from Rooster Teeth. Oh, winner. Chicken dinner. They got it. And then, but you've been struggling.
I struggled a little bit. I think my tactics were all wrong. I do a lot of like hiding and like getting stuff and then not engaging in fights enough and then not like killing people. Mm. But on this one, I fucking earned it. I killed like four of the last eight people. And the last two dudes I got as well. So I felt really good about it, but I swear to God, when I like stepped away, my hands were like fucking this.
Well, for me, like I still haven't played Battlegrounds. I want to. It's just, you know, I'm not a PC dork, and I just haven't been around our PC enough to play it. But for me, playing King of the Kill when that was happening for H1Z1, like it was a similar mode. Obviously, not exactly the same thing.
Very, very similar. Though,
but it was that thing where like there was I think we did it on a stream where I hid in a bathtub forever, and like finally when the first human being in that game came in, I like panicked and like shot the walls off. And then I just get murdered. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you get so amped up on energy.
Totally. Yeah. It becomes this, like, exercise in, like, the tiny moment, which, like, we kind of take for granted loads of first-person shooters because they're, like, you know, you respawn just and you're back in the game and you don't care about it. But, it focuses the whole thing down. Like, 20 minutes ends up coming down to just, like, which one of you is able to get that headshot.
Yeah.
Because even, like, Counter-Strike kind of had that. Yeah. But Counter-Strike around-ended and you were back in after a minute. The stakes are just, like...
He's invested time here.
Stakes are so mentally high. Totally,
exactly.
So it's the best, like, in terms of... And then it's like that Dota feeling where when you win then, it's like, it feels so much, like, so worth it because you spent, like, 40 minutes doing it.
Sure.
But it's way better than Dota.
Oh, like, thank you.
I don't...
There we go.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen. Mitch Dyer's not here to protect you. You know what I mean? You don't have to say anything about Dota positive.
He's off writing MOBAs into the Star Wars canon.
Weirdo. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. There's going to be something of them all planning. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news of the video game world, diving deep, getting into it, having thought out conversations about it and all that jazz. Mm. If you like that, you can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, where we don't interact with you at all. But if we get something wrong, you can go to kindafunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we got wrong at the end of the show. We run through the corrections. If you're one of the other people who want to watch it later, watch it on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Goes up live each and every, not live, but it goes up every day after we record it live. Then it also goes up as a podcast service around the globe. Remember, no matter where you consume the show, it would mean a lot if you went and rated it and subscribed to it on the other platforms just to make sure the show gets to other people out there.
Do it.
Oh, also, over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames right now, a new party mode is up.
Oh, nice. Which play?
Faking It.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
We can come see Nick Scarpino just
shit
be Nick Scarpino and see me lie through my teeth.
Who is the worst at lying?
Nick. 1,000%. And I'm the best at it. But the problem is that Kevin's really good at sniffing me out.
Okay, right.
Yeah, exactly. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I write it so early in the morning, I always forget.
You always forget what the news is?
Three items on the Roper Report.
The Baker's Dozen.
Thank you, Kevin. We're going to start with, perhaps, what I thought some of the most interesting, the most interesting story of the day.
Yeah.
Overwatch League has been announced before, but today they announced the cities it's going to be in, the teams, and the owners.
Yes.
And the owners are quite surprising. I'm going to read a section of GameSpot story. It's so good, I printed it out.
Oh my
god! It's very long, and it has many details I'd like to touch on as we go through.
I wonder if it's an Eddie McCoo special.
I don't know. Check it out. Yeah. Eddie. We're going to start, though. Here we go.
It is.
As rumored, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who is a billionaire, will own the Boston-based Overwatch League team.
He's the Kraft food guy, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. But he's the Patriots. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Additionally, Jeff Wilpon, who is the co-founder and partner at Sterling VC, who owns the New York Mets, will operate the New York team. There will also be Overwatch League teams in Los Angeles, the Immortals, Miami Orlando, Misfits Gaming, San Francisco, NRG Esports, Shanghai, NetEase, and Seoul, Kevin Chow, Kabam. Quote, we looked at major cities around the world and came up with a list of cities that wasn't just based on population size, but really the concentration of Overwatch players. Mm. Overwatch League Commissioner Nate Nanzer told GameSpot. And once we had our cities confirmed, we set out and we're talking to who we thought would be the who would be great owners. Mm. We wanted to make sure we were partnering with partners who, first and foremost, had a proven track record of building and growing a fan base. With today's announcement, the Overwatch League becomes the first major international pro esports league with a city-based structure. This is a big step for competitive gaming as it brings it more in line with traditional sports leagues, though Overwatch League is unique in that teams from different countries will compete in certain events. Mm. Now, Danny, when you were gone on your European vacation, I asked Dan, we talked about Rocket League.
Yes.
And Andrea and I were talking about it, and I came up with the point of, like, is Rocket League going to be the first game that makes esport relevant to the mainstream?
Right.
Or at least a larger, and when I say mainstream, I don't mean general America. I mean gamers like me who are just like, I've never watched an esport. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't count Evo. If somebody on Twitter is like, this fight's insane, I'll pop over and look at it. But I'm not like excited for Evo. Evo sneaks up.
You're not watching tournament.
Exactly. Yeah, and Dota and stuff like that. That's not happening. Yeah. Do you think it's going to be Overwatch?
I've watched the episode on Rocket League, and I think that makes a lot of sense because it's so easy to understand what the hell is going on. And that's like ultimately the sort of the hook and also the problem that a lot of esports have. Dota, it gets its hooks in because it's so complex that by the time you get it, it's like you're fucking
it's another
the
language.
Matrix.
Yeah, totally, yeah, exactly, right? Exactly.
So Overwatch kind of sits in this like middle area of those where, I mean, it's a first-person shooter, but it's not like Counter-Strike where essentially it's a headshot hunt and, you know, there's only ever one flashpoint happening at a time. But you still need to kind of know what 20 characters do, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, like, meta going on there that you might not know about. So,
well, what's interesting about Overwatch, I think, and the reason that I first off, I'm sure I caught this announcement back in the day, but every game that gets released now, it's like, hey, we hope it goes to be in an eSport or whatever. That what's interesting about this one, even when you talk about it there, is the fact that what makes me not doubt when I said Rocket League, but maybe think Overwatch has a shot, is the fact that, number one, Overwatch is so popular. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, like, sure, Dota's really popular and that, you know, League's really popular and that's why people watch those. Mm. But those are popular on PC.
Right.
But Overwatch is popular everywhere it's played, console included. So suddenly you have a fan base that already knows Overwatch and appreciates Overwatch. And it is that thing in the same vein of, well, I think I'm pretty good at Overwatch, but then I go watch a professional play and I know what they're up to. And so you're going to want to see how good they are. But then I think it's going to be the fact that these... Oh, man. Some kid, real quick, sorry. So, over on the subreddit yesterday, somebody's like, I love Kind of Funny Games Daily, but I see that Greg keeps saying the fact that. And I was like, really? Do I? And I just said two back to back. Like, ugh, that's gross. But the fact that these characters do have personalities and do have pros and cons, I think it's going to be... At some point, if you're really into that, even if you know a cursory knowledge of playing it, you're going to be like, oh, this is an interesting matchup because da-da-da-da.
I totally agree. And I think that's the reason why, even as me, as somebody who's played, like, God, I don't know, 500 to 1,000 hours of Rocket League, it doesn't have, like, a culture around it.
Yeah.
Like, Rocket or Overwatch has characters and levels and all these things that you recognize.
And cosplay and fan art and a lot of porn.
Right, a lot of porn.
Yeah,
a lot of 3D porn.
Yeah.
Kevin's into it.
Kevin's clapping.
So I think that matched with the fact that I really like the city-based idea.
Right. And
as somebody who does not care about esports, and I play Counter-Strike 1.6, I play all these games, Quake, huge fan of all these, I've never cared about the competitive scene. And I've played those games up to like a pretty high level in clans myself, and I never cared about watching competitive stuff.
Yeah.
But the city thing... Like, that's how you get people to watch sports that they never watch. That's why everyone in the Bay Area watches basketball, even though they don't give a shit about it, because everyone's talking about the Warriors.
Exactly. Well, and I'll tell you right now, if in the Bay Area we have a winning esports team, suddenly people will care.
Totally.
Because when they lose, nobody talks about it.
It'll be a thing.
Yeah.
It'll be like people who play other games will tune into it. I mean, they'll probably be based down in Santa Clara. Boom! Local sports joke.
Yeah, local sports. That all made sense to you guys, right? No, that's what's... it's so interesting because I think so many games get released and say, yeah, we want to be an eSport. Yeah, we want to do this. Mm. We're starting the Call of Duty Master Series, all this stuff.
Right.
And it's like, all right, well, whatever. It's just another thing that's happening on the internet.
Yeah.
But the fact of like this feels and sounds so much like the sports you already know.
Yeah.
Right? Not to mention that you have sports team owners involved with it. It's the fact that, yeah, it is in a city and the city's going to have an identity. The team's going to have an identity based on that. I don't think it's going to, you know, blow up and be as big as the NFL in the first 5 years or whatever. But it's a very it's a way, it's an interesting take on like, how do you make this work and
it's
how do you
fresh
make it happen?
Yeah. In a way that, like, I'm sure a lot of people go from esport to esport who are fans of esports because of, like, the teams that sort of exist in all of these different sports, right? So when they open up a new game, it's like, oh, X and Y team from, you know, Counter-Strike or from Dota or whatever, like, they're also going to go in here, and they get a little bit of crossover that way.
Yeah.
But, like, that template for me as somebody who's not invested in that scene has never really worked. Like, whenever I see, like you said, Call of Duty, new league going to start, right? It's all those same teams and a lot of those. And I don't care. Whereas this is like, I'll probably, you know, I support the team rather than the player. And I think that happens in sports a lot more than it does in esports. People tend to be fans of players more. I mean, maybe I'm reading that wrong, but that's kind of where it always came from for me. So the idea that these teams will have identities outside of it, I think that's cool.
That's how it works. I mean, like, to what you're saying is, I mean, like, I'm a fan of the Chicago Bears, right? Or like, I'm a fan of Mizzou, and that's an even better example, because Mizzou, you know, it's 4 years best. You're going to see a player on that team before they get cycled out and go. And so that is the thing of giving it more than just like, you like Team Quickshot and the Headshot guy. You know, I don't know, these weird names for the esports guys. But like, yeah, there's something to be said for that as well.
And it creates the like idea of a dynasty.
Yeah, you know? 100%. We call them dynasties here. Oh, God. Your accent. Come on. No, you
watch that TV show, Dynasty?
Oh, God. So, yeah, they start with seven teams right now, and they say they're going to announce more in due time.
Poor soul. So just on their own.
Well, I think you got to imagine people will pop up around them or whatever, right? And that'll be their deal. Yeah, get it out there and get it going. So seven teams for right now. By comparison, NFL has 32 teams. MLB has 30.
Well, who's next? Who's next? Because
that's a yeah. What I mean, what you figure? San Francisco is a big get, obviously. Los Angeles, okay, whatever. Hmm. I figure.
What we have New York.
Yeah,
they have New England. So is there Florida something? It said Miami,
there's a Miami
Florida
one. Yeah, there's a Miami one.
Okay, so where's Midwest? There's no Chicago.
A Chicago one, you'd think. But it's also like, it was sold. Do they want to get outside of, hey, we're just doing it in the United States, right? Like,
right.
Where, I mean, you figure.
I mean, then it's like London.
Yeah.
Berlin.
Yeah.
Like Dublin. Well, not. No. Yeah, I'm not a Dublin. Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. You're happy for some representation of any.
Waterford's not getting it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's based on you know, who's playing Overwatch and where they're playing Overwatch.
Brazil. But. Like Rio.
Oh, it's too nice.
Because then they'll have teams where the characters are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What if they do that? What if it's a whole team of Lucios from Brazil and Tracer from London?
Yeah,
that'd be a good way to do it.
Overwatch League teams will make money through ticket sales, advertising, and broadcast rights revenue. According to Blizzard, this money will be shared evenly through local teams get to keep all the revenue from their home territory and venture up to quote. a certain amount.
Right.
Over on Twitter, I had asked folks, is this going to be the esport that gets you involved, but also do you already watch esports?
Yes.
And I was not shocked, I'd say, but I was like, first off, a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm totally into this. Mm. And then a lot of people were like, no, I actually already watch esports. Do you have any choice responses?
Sure do. Mark Freeman says, I only watch Rocket League esports, which is better to watch than real sports, in my opinion, but it's always the game you love that gets you into it. Like, that's a really good point. You got to understand the game before.
Yeah, the mechanics of it all.
Joseph Moore says, I watch Call of Duty, Counter-Strike, Halo, and Gears of War esports matches. I could see myself probably getting to Overwatch in time. And another one here from Dylan Tierney. Esports kind of only works for me in fighting games. You see everything going on at once. Shooters, you only see one view at a time, which is like the big problem, I guess. And that's why CS kind of works, because you've always got very particular flashpoints. They're either this lane or that lane.
Right.
Whereas Overwatch is like, it's a big spread.
Sure.
It's a defensive game happening as well as an offensive game.
Right. It's going to be very fascinating. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen with this.
At the very least, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like fresh and cool and I'll give it a go.
It's the first esport in a while that I've heard announced, or league that's been announced in a while, where I'm like, oh, I'm interested to see what your product looks like.
Right.
Because I can't visualize it.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a TV product, or is it just for the internet, or is where they're going to do it? And like, how much money is Robert Kraft going to throw behind his team?
Right.
Like, for real. Like, you know what I mean? And is that going to lead to crossovers where you're at a New England Patriots game and they're putting something on the Jumbotron advertising this esport thing they're doing for Overwatch?
All of the team dressed up as Torbjorn for the first game of the season.
Exactly. Yeah. Tom Brady out there. Whatever. Yeah. Second story on the Roto Roper Report. Logitech has bought Astro. I'm going to read you CNET's article here, at least part of it. Now, Logitech's carving a deeper niche in the gaming peripheral market by purchasing headset maker Astro Gaming for $85 million in an all-cash deal.
All cash. A lot of suitcases.
While you could technically call Astro Gaming a rival, as both companies produce headsets, Astro is best known for its pricey, high-quality Astro A40 and A50 headsets, which retail for upwards of $250. Whereas Logitech's highest-end headset usually originally cost just $200 and can be had for closer to $130 today. Converted, that's about £100 or $170 AU. Mm. According to the press release, Logitech has a pretty specific aim by buying Astro. It wants to expand its product line into the games console market. While some of its gear can be technically used with consoles, Logitech has mostly targeted PCs, tablets, and phones as of late. Quote, with the addition of Astro, we're investing in an adjacent gaming market, the console gaming market, to help accelerate the long-term growth of our gaming business, reads the line in this press release. In an interview, Logitech gaming boss, whose name I won't try to butcher, and the Astro VP tell CNET that Astro and Logitech G will stay separate brands with separate teams, even though they'll both technically report to the Logitech guy. Logitech will be focused on PC and Astro on the console market, and Astro may even expand beyond its core headset business with Logitech's help. Danny, what's your take?
It seems like a pretty common affair. We see this with things like, you know, Dell buying Alienware all those years back. You know, brand is really important when it comes to hardware.
Yeah.
As we all know, console wars. And like you said in the description, like, essentially these are kind of two different things. Like, I know they both do headsets, but
sure.
Like, people don't shout about Logitech headsets.
Right.
You know? Logitech headsets, what you have if you're in a conference room. Like, Astros are when you're, like, playing actual goddamn video games.
Well, that's the thing about it for me is that I use an Astro backpack. I have Astro headsets. Mm-hmm. I love Astro. And it is one of those things for me where Astro has always been the boutique brand. It's always been the hip, cool. It is a smaller, you know, workforce. It is this, you know, quaint cliche, or not cliche, niche product. Niche,
yeah.
And so to see Logitech, like the biggest name in peripherals, the one you see forever, all the time when you buy anything.
Webcams, mice, keyboards, the whole shebang.
Exactly. Speakers. I think Kevin's whole setup for the VR thing back there is his, or the racing part is all there. Wait, where are you pointing at, Kevin? Your phone?
My mouse and keyboard.
Oh, your mouse and keyboard. I thought you texted me something.
All of them in the office.
All of them from Logitech. Yeah, you like Logitech a lot.
Love it.
Yeah, I got a bunch of Logitech stuff. The webcams they use are some of the best, you know, cost effective ones for streamers as well. You know,
yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, my only concern is that they're going to come in and fuck up Astro's brand. But if they're not, they say they're not. They say they're going to be two teams. They say everything's going to be separate. Okay.
Yeah.
But I wish everybody well because Astro it has been a San Francisco company. A lot of our friends have worked here or work there still. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it also will be interesting to see if this just gets Astro to more people.
Right.
But how much more of a focus will there be on quote unquote budget products?
Well, that's the thing is like, which direction does this go in? Do they fold Astro into them in terms of their product line? They kind of spoke to it a little bit there, but like ultimately over the course of 2 or 4 years, you don't know how it's going to end up.
Yeah.
Do they try and make Astro more appealing to more people?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of not what it's always
been
about.
Exactly. It kind of loses it, right?
Yeah. Or do they try and make Logitech, you know, I don't know.
Like it's one of those things, you know, they put out the fact, they're talking about the A40s and A50s, but they do have lower tier ones. You know, Astro did make more of a budget price one that I think the hope was to get into more houses to so you understand how great it is to get the next nice one or whatever.
And maybe like Logitech scale and manufacturing resources they have allow them to better target that.
And mainly, you know, I would hope for the marketing, you know, push. You know, they have a budget now here to actually get out the word about this. But Astro's always been great.
And it's like Astros exist in like a kind of a unique space in that like a lot of niche hardware is kind of like cheap or like, you know, particular stuff for like hardcore gamers, a lot of it doesn't come across as particularly like well made sometimes, whereas Astro's has always been like pretty solid.
Yeah,
like I feel like you hear every once in a while like stuff doesn't come out the way you want, but like generally it's been pretty good.
Yeah,
so they are kind of one of those brands in like niche gaming hardware that has like thread the line well and can probably reach a bigger audience. So I don't know, maybe it'll be better for them as well. Okay.
I hope so. Good folks, hope everything
got a lot of money
out.
Anyway.
And the final story, number three, Pokemon Go is still around.
You
might have forgotten about it. It's still a thing that's happening.
They're everywhere.
But now they're actually doing a bunch of real-world events. IGN has a report here. Pokemon Go Fest, which takes place on July 22nd in Chicago, Illinois.
Go Fest yourself. Chicago,
will feature three challenge windows during which players in Grant Park will work with each other to unlock global rewards. According to the post on the game's official site, by catching certain types of Pokemon during these challenge windows, players will unlock different perks for players around the world. For example, catching an electric type will provide an egg distance bonus. While catching a grass type will provide a stardust bonus. The Chicago one is not the only one of these live events. First off, you can play throughout it too. There's bonuses during these events. Mm. But outside of that, they're going to the Czech Republic, Denmark, Sweden, the Netherlands, Germany, Paris, Barcelona throughout August and September. Additionally, a special Pokemon Go experience will be held in Yokohama, Japan during the Pokemon Company's annual Pikachu Outbreak event. That sounds terrifying. If you want, like, for real, a video game, like, everyone's like, oh, zombies. If you did a game called Pikachu Outbreak yeah. there is a Pikachu virus, and it is turning people into Pikachus, and they're all, like, horrific and running like around.
Fucked up Pikachus?
Survivals and stuff. Yeah, I'd be in. I'd be totally in.
Totally.
Yeah, okay.
Make it happen.
Danny, do you remember Pokemon Go?
I do. And, like, my buddy Dennis came over on a vacation to America.
Yeah.
Loves playing Pokemon Go in Ireland.
Sure.
When I went home last summer, we went out looking for Snorlax, because he had one of the, back before they nerfed all the map shit. Where you could like look up stuff. We go around the car looking for stuff. It was like a fun thing to do.
Of course.
He came over here. There's like the American only Pokemon, right? Yeah. Each territory has its own one. And he was delighted. He went down to Venice Beach and he caught it and he was super, super jazzed.
Yeah.
And like, that's what got him to open up the app again, was like this location specific thing. And that was a broad one. Whereas this is like, that's a pretty good idea. There are
that's
people
a great
who like,
idea.
Still have it installed and sure. probably aren't playing it every day.
Yeah.
But like, it's a good excuse to try and get them back in. You know?
It's a great idea. And I think it's such a great example of, oh, holy shit, we didn't know this was going to be popular.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it should have been, like, this should have happened immediately. Because it was that thing where I will never forget walking through my neighborhood in the sunset and people running past me and talking about the Pokemon they just caught, talking about street corners, people at a gym up the street from the Goodwill, the bar that was a Pokestop that had a sign outside that says, go away, we're not a Pokestop.
Really?
And it was like, Dirty Nellies. They were like,
oh, really?
They're like, we're not a Pokestop. They were a Pokestop. And so it was this thing of like, it was such a weird couple weeks where that game exploded and it's all anybody would do or talk about or tweet about. And I played it and I had fun. Like, I didn't get super into it, but to see the love and how great, and like, it was just that thing of like, you know, Niantic or whatever was just like, fuck, we are way behind the ball on this. You know what I mean? And like to mention, the app wasn't stable. They were kept crashing, all these different things. If they could have had these events then, right? Like a week out, a month out, something to keep you going so you never turn it off, delete it, or just forget about it.
Was this like a year, close to a year? Like it must
give me a check. When did Pokemon Go come out? Yeah, it feels like it's been a year. I think that sounds about right.
July 6, 2016.
Just
a year.
And that was the thing too, like at, you know, the Comic-Con panel. I don't know if you remember this last year at Comic-Con. They had a Pokemon Go panel and it was a originally in the smallest room, one of the smaller rooms, and then it got so big they moved it to a bigger room. And there was a rumor started that they were going to drop a special Pokemon during the panel. So people at Comic-Con who couldn't get into the room were upstairs above. There was like all these people, hundreds of people milling out on the floor on above.
Balloons
above
the building.
And then nothing. And it's like that thing of, I get that like making a game is harder than we all think it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like making a cool Pokemon drop, you know what I mean? Like, that seems like that would have been easier.
Right.
That we could have done something neat like that. And this whole event thing sounds awesome.
Yeah.
If they would have done this, and I know he's still obsessed with it a bit, but if they would have done this last year, I'm sure Andrew Goldfarb would have gone to Chicago for this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's insane about that goddamn game. But it's cool and it's different. And I'm, you know, more power to if you're still playing it.
Yeah.
But man, I'll never. That was one of the weirdest video game things in my life of people walking around Comic-Con just trying to kick stuff.
Do you remember, like, it feels like at the start of every zombie movie or, like, you know, world catastrophe movie, where, like, it's that moment where it turns and everything seems, like, totally normal except there's something different.
Yeah.
I remember, like, going on a walk with my wife. We're coming back from, like, playing tennis or something, and, like, a bunch of, like, kids went past. I know, it's, like, the fucking most middle-class white thing in the world.
We just got done with our tennis lesson.
It's working on my backswing. And we were walking through, like, our neighborhood and like three kids walked past who were all on their phones like fucking going. I was like, that's weird. And they went around the corner and there was like a bunch more of them. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And then like I went up to Twitter and I was like, what are you doing? He was like, oh, it's a Pokemon game. And I'm like, fuck, all right. And then went back on Twitter and suddenly like boom.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
I went to a brunch and we were sitting out. It was out back and outside. And like, these random people kept coming and going off to this one section over by this tree and then back. And it was just like this constant flood. So and they were all out there to get some random Pokemon.
It's nuts. I live near Lake Merritt in Oakland.
Yeah.
And it's to this day, when myself and my wife walk around, you'll see like two kids walking, like going for a walk around the lake and they're just
that's
catching
great.
Pokemon while they're doing it.
So get out there
are still pockets of people playing it, but this is a really good idea. I think they should probably do more events.
I wonder if it'll ever come back to relevancy for everybody. If that, because I don't even know how you would do it. Of like, what do people love? What did they not love? And how do you get it back? And how do you make it work?
It was such like one of those moments that was grander than itself as well.
Yeah,
that you probably never reach that sort of level of cultural recognition. But at the very least, like, it's cool that they're doing like very locational specific stuff. But maybe they should implement some of that into a more like minute sort of microwave in the game as well, so people who aren't in these cities can also do something cool, you know?
Yeah. Danny, do you know what's coming out today?
Oh my God, I practiced last night. Oh God, I said I'd do a little.
You still got extra days.
I do.
Because if you didn't know what's coming out today, you'd go to the official
list of upcoming software
across
all platforms,
each and every platform
as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily
show
hosts.
Each and every day. Dude, oh, good job! Kevin's
I'll be
got
ready
all
for
of
finals
out today, ladies and gentlemen. Iron Cryptical. Am I saying that right? Iron Cryptical. Like it's icicle.
In Europe, we pronounce it cryptically.
No, you don't. On Xbox One, Anti-Hero on PC, Energy Balance on Vita. Can't prove it yet, but Energy Balance strikes me as it might be a fun game just to go in and get trophies for.
Because
originally I thought it was a version of that PlayStation 4 game I was talking about a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And then I watched it. It looks similar, but it's not.
Okay.
But it seems like I didn't check if it has a platinum either. But there's much
games. Edmund McMillan's new game is out today as well.
What is that?
The End Is Nigh.
Oh really?
If you like Meat Boy, it's kind of similar-ish.
PC.
Kind of PC. It's out on Steam. I don't know if it's out on anything else, but it's out this morning. It's out now, I think. Yeah.
The End Is Nigh, everybody. Sorry, cool. I missed that one. I let you down. I let you all down. I mean, Danny knew about it. He could have added it to the document. He looks at the document every day. He could have added it, but apparently doesn't read that far.
I'm going to edit the document?
Yeah.
Yes. Please.
Andrea gets in there and changes the entire thing.
Oh, really?
And then she comes in. I'll come off the other show. She's like, you see my edits? I'm like, no, I'm on a show. How would I know what's going on? We have new dates, too. Mafia 3's third DLC pack has been revealed. It's called Sign of the Times. It's coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC on July 25th. 2K describes it as Sign of the Times. Sees you take on quote, a deranged and violent group of cultists.
Are there any other type of cultists?
Well, there's some that are just like chill about it, I think, right? The cult uses a hallucinogenic drug to bend its members to their will and turn them into killers, all in service of restoring righteousness to New Bordeaux through violent rituals.
You skipped the name of the cult.
I did. I didn't want to try. You got it? What do you got, smart guy?
The Unsanglant?
Right now, if Jen was able to watch this, she would be like, oh!
Je suis le ensanglant. J'aime le ensanglant.
You butcher le French.
Did you play Mafia 3?
No, I didn't. I didn't realize it was two DLC packs already.
Yeah. Another the DLC packs, I've heard, are well received. Like, people enjoy them more than the Mafia game.
Right. I've heard a lot of people like Mafia 3 as well.
They ever liked the story and the character, and then it was like, hey, this backtracking and driving these long distances for no reason. It was one of those games of, like, why is this an open world?
Right.
Like, you don't need this. This could have been a way tighter experience if you didn't do it that way.
It was right when we launched Noclip, so I was like, fucking,
you're a bit busy.
Your head was down, right?
Yeah, for me it was that Colin and I were both looking forward to. He was super jazzed for it, and he got it and played it for a week. Nice. And I came home like, how was he? He's like, don't play it.
Oh really?
He's like, oh no. God. He's like, I don't hate it, but it's like a waste of my time. And
right.
It was one of the few games where he just petered out, and he's like, why am I doing this?
Yeah,
there's no reason for me to keep playing this. Escapist 2 is coming out August 22nd on PC, PS4, Xbox One, and one day to Switch.
Sure,
no, not that. Yeah. What Remains of Edith Finch, July 19th on Xbox One.
Yeah, so not play that either.
Really?
No.
That's a great one. What's exciting or interesting about that, of course, is the fact that, you know, Giant Sparrow did have that exclusive deal with PlayStation that this was originally part of, but then that changed. I've never seen why that's exactly happened. And then they got picked up by that Annapurna,
movie publisher.
Exactly. Who keeps publishing great games. They have a really, Deb Mars, a whole bunch of people. This is why it's weird, and I don't have the full story, but a whole bunch of people from Sony Santa Monica that were on the Sony X Dev team went over to Annapurna or whatever and are working there. And like Deb Mars, who fans have heard me talk about for years, she's over there with a whole bunch of her crew. And somehow it must have been how they got that there. What's even a more interesting wrinkle of this, what was going to once be a PlayStation exclusive, at least you imagine, is the fact that this will then, with spoilers for the game, but not really, it'll have the reference to the Unfinished Swan in it, which is a PlayStation exclusive.
Yes.
Which for me, as a fan of Giant Sparrow and such a fan of Unfinished Swan, to get to that part of the game and flip the fuck out was amazing. It'll be interesting to see what Xbox people think of that.
Of course. Yeah.
Huh. Deals of the day. We got a couple things for you. Ooh. First off, I appreciate this. Our friend Yuchi, who's working on video games out there. He originally, a long time ago, hooked me up with Fallen Legion. It was a game we did a Let's Play for on Vita. We said, hey, let's look at this new Vita game. We're debuting this new Vita game. He hit me up and was like, hey, I watched the show. Here's the deal of the day you might not have known about. Fallen Legion is having a super pre-order sale until July 18th. You can get both the PlayStation 4 and Vita versions for $19.99 or $15.99 with PlayStation Plus, along with a free PlayStation 4 theme. Now, here's where it gets interesting. PS4 and Vita versions of the game are different. They have different stories, they have different bosses, and different choices. So, if you have PlayStation Plus, you're getting two games and a theme for $16. Not too shabby.
No?
Not too shabby.
I love a theme.
Oh, who doesn't love a good theme? I'm a big fan theme? Of a theme. I mentioned a long time ago, you remember how I told you today, like, you know, how's the day? I'm like, we got the shows, we got to do a Let's Play, and then I blocked out time for emails.
Yeah.
Forever ago, I tweeted, like, I want a kind of funny dynamic theme on the PlayStation 4. And a developer hit me up, and he's like, hey, we should talk about this. And he's one of the emails I got to get back to, because I love a good theme.
That'd be great.
I want Kevin's face walking around doing this. I want him getting bongoed. I want that to be the background for a while. Kevin, you okay with that?
Yeah, whatever.
What?
Oh, he's not into the bongos anymore.
No, I said, yeah, whatever. All right. He's never into the bongos.
Capcom's got a Humble Bundle deal for you, too. I just stole it from IGN, but it's just
good
information.
One.
Yeah, all right.
Super good.
So, Humble Bundle. The idea, correct me if I'm wrong, right, is pay what you want kind of thing. There's like a suggested price.
And there are tiers that you unlock, yeah. So it's not like you can get everything for 50 cents.
I've never done it before. So this is how it's listed on IGN, right? The fullest of games that for this Capcom Humble Bundle are as follows. So pay more than $1, you unlock Strider, Umbrella Corps, DMC Devil May Cry, and 10% off Humble's monthly subscription.
Yeah.
Pay more than the average to also unlock. And how does that work? That's what... Do you use Humble Bundle?
Yes, the average is listed. It's not like...
So this is it always changing?
It will say, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let me check. I can probably check what the average is right now.
Okay, actually. So pay more than the average while you look that up.
$7.25.
So pay more than $7.25. You also unlock Umbrella Corps Deluxe Edition Upgrade Pack, Dead Rising 2 off the record, Resident Evil HD, Resident Evil 0 HD, Resident Evil 6, 40% off Resident Evil 7, 50% off Dead Rising 4, 50% off Street Fighter 5. Pay more than $12, you also unlock Dead Rising 2, Dead Rising 3 Apocalypse Edition. The bundle is running right now until 11 a.m. Pacific on 25 July. I don't know what crazy person who's European over at IGN wrote that. Each title is Windows only and redeemable only through Steam. So it's a PC gamer deal.
Is it 25 July this year?
We find out there's no 31st of June ever. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. It's you can also decide to give a amount to charity as well if you want.
Right.
And usually it's like just redeem on Steam, so you just get all that stuff in. It's good. I love Humble, man. I'm on the monthly thing as well.
See, that's so explain to me, this is one of those things, if I've seen Humble Bundle. Yeah. We've had friends go work for Humble Bundle. Mm-hmm. But as a console guy, I think it's only crossed over once or twice or something. Okay. So what is everything? Give me the rundown of Humble and then their subscription service.
Like the generally what Humble was before they did the subscription thing was that every once in a while they would have one of these branded bundles. Originally it was indie games, and it was a way of kind of getting like visibility in a bunch of them, and also like having that thing we were talking yesterday about, that secondary third sale
Exactly. Another bump to get your game out there.
Right. So it was kind of like pay what you want for a certain amount, but if you get over this amount, then you'll unlock this amount of things. And it's a good way of like spending $15 and getting 8 games, right?
Okay.
It was a super fun way of doing it. And they've had different ones, like obviously now Capcom, in the years since starting it with the indie stuff, they've expanded into much, actual publishers and stuff sort of getting involved in it. So that's kind of like the bread and butter of it. There's just like, they're essentially sales, sales, right?
Gotcha.
You go in and do it and whatever. And then the monthly subscription thing is essentially, here, you don't really know what you're getting, but every month they kind of say, okay, here are the games that are up on the subscription thing. You can own them now. You basically just get a Steam key in your account.
Okay.
And then you also get access to like some sales stuff via that as well.
Okay, cool.
And it's cool. It's just like, I like it because it's a way of contributing to like the sort of indie marketplace, which is something that often gets
overlooked,
forgotten, especially with Steam being as big as it is.
Yeah,
like itch.io is another one that I love and I support.
Yeah, I've gotten like Cybell and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like those really indie games.
Totally. So it's cool. It's all like it's not like the DRM free thing you get like GOG, but it's a good way of like getting access to a bunch of games. The problem is though, then you have essentially got like hundreds of games that you never played.
Of course. Well, that's the problem. I mean, that's why, that's the big problem with, I mean, it happens on console, but especially with Steam. Like, this game's $4. You're like, well, I got to buy
Shadow of Mordor, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, didn't you try to buy it and you already owned it?
I forgot I owned it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing where you just get these libraries and you have all the games at your fingertips. Right. You never play any of them.
So at least with some of the indie ones, you know, they're like a couple hours long or they're like short experiences. Or that's a good point. You don't mind them, you know, just playing them for a little bit because you only spend a couple of quid on them.
It's funny you bring that up. That leads us into reader mail.
Ooh.
Remember, I need you to be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You go there, you can leave questions, you can leave bad PSN names, you can make up your own segment, leave it there, let me know. I like them based around the news, but sometimes you get out and we do a million things. But we're starting off with Ethan from Chicago. Ethan from Chicago wrote in and said, hi Greg and the Irish cream himself.
Nice to cream you.
Oh, Jesus God. I have a serious issue. I buy too many games. I always try to beat them, but I don't. My backlog is stacked. You can omit this list. I don't want to omit it for you, Ethan. Metal Gear Solid 5, Shadow of Mordor, Persona 5, Fallout 4 DLC, Hitman, Persona 4, Freedom Wars, Yakuza 0, Horizon Zero Dawn, Shovel Knight, Ratchet & Clank, Uncharted 4, Nier Automata, and plenty more. I've played them all, and the majority I'm almost done. I can't turn on my PS4 or Vita without getting a headache from my backlog. Am I a terrible gamer? Am I addicted to buying games? Is this normal? Do I need serious help? Thanks, Ethan from Chicago.
I think this scratches the same part of, like, the brain that stops us from, like, clearing our inboxes.
Yeah.
Like, it's some sort of completing anxiety.
100%. Like, completionist,
if we just, like, set the time aside and did it, then you just do it.
Yeah.
Fallout New Vegas, I completed it last year. I had a save game like 10 minutes from the end for like 5 years, maybe. I think I was gonna say four. I think it was 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta pick your battles, maybe.
Yeah.
Just like finish them, like have that momentum, like you said about Persona yesterday.
Yeah. I'm getting back.
Yeah.
I was hoping last night I would have free time to sit there and make my list. Right. I'm gonna make a list and publicize it so people understand. This is what is on my I need to playlist
by this year kind of thing.
Well, no, like basically I need to get Persona and Wolfenstein done.
Okay.
Here are the speed bumps I see in terms of like here's the rest of these games that are coming. What I'm gonna play come August, where a million things start dropping. I think what he brings up, Ethan from Chicago. Mm. Is he addicted to buying games? I don't think you're addicted to it. I think what so many of us are, myself included, probably you with your Steam library and everything else, is we are addicted to the cycle of games. Where when a game is coming out, we get so excited about it. We know we're going to get to it eventually. You want to support the developers. You want a big part for us, even being part of the conversation or leading it, depending on how you look at it. But for a fan out there, they want to play Crash Bandicoot alongside us so that when Tim talks about Crash Bandicoot, they can compare and contrast to their reactions. When they can look at other people doing reviews or Let's Plays, they can have help with this. We all want to be part of the conversation. And I think that's what gets us, is that you buy the game right away and you think it's going to happen. And I think this is what is so interesting for how I do it, right? Of like, I mentioned Night in the Woods yesterday. Or I don't know if I did. You might have mentioned it.
No, I
mentioned it at dinner last night, I know, when I was talking to some people. But I bought Night in the Woods based on the fact of like everybody said about this game sounds like it's going to be my kind of fucking game. Mm. And I bought it, and then I forget what else was out that week. I played something else, and then I noticed no one was talking about A Night in the Woods. Mm. And it's not that they weren't talking about it as it's bad, but it was like, I could play that right now, or I could go play this other thing that I need to be taught. I feel like I need to talk about. Now, that's weird for me, because maybe if I bought when I eventually play Night in the Woods, I'm probably going to talk about Night in the Woods. Mm-hmm. And if it's something I really want to talk about, I'm going to bang the drum about it, right? And make a thing out of it. But so much of this is the cycle, and whether it be marketing or just release schedules, in terms of like, well, what is hot right now and what do we want to have an opinion on? What do I want to talk about? Because like, there's nothing better than, you know, Nick always talks about it in movies where his favorite thing of going to the movies is the car ride after the movie, where you all sit there and you're like, blah, blah, blah. And we talk about it all the time. We need to stop doing reacts the way we do reacts to movies and instead just have a camera in the car. Because what inevitably happens is we have this great conversation there, and then we come here and we kind of rehash it.
Yeah.
And like, you're not as excited to actually have a thing about it. We need to figure it out. Kevin, I'm sure, will get on it one day. But it's the same thing with games, where you want to have that moment. You want to have those water cooler moments and talk to people
100%.
About it.
100%. And the sort of other side of that coin is you also don't want to be omitted from the conversation, which happens a lot, right? If we're having a conversation, or, you know, the games cast, right? You guys are suddenly talking about Horizon Zero Dawn. You don't want to be actively kind of not listening in a way because you haven't had the experience. You don't want to ruin for you. Yeah. Totally. And I think that it kind of bleeds into what we were talking about yesterday in terms of like those single player games that come out and they have their moment and people are talking about them and then they're sort of done. This isn't like the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, right? Yeah. Where like everyone's playing. Why is everyone playing that game right now? Because everyone's talking about that game right now. So with something like Horizon, like that has its moment when it comes out. That month is when that's going to happen. And unlike, you know, games with longer tails or multiplayer games, the games that aren't these sort of like dense linear experiences, those games have their moment and they fall off.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we all as gamers get them right away and then sometimes don't end up finishing them because we've kind of put too much food in our mouth and can't chew properly.
Right. And I think Mass Effect's another great example, right? Totally. Of like, okay, cool, Mass Effect came out and it wasn't, oh my God, you have to play this before this. It's, hey, this is glitchy and weird and blah, blah, blah. And so I think a lot of people bought that game and then probably didn't finish it because there was no real impetus to it. Because we're not saying, holy shit, have you seen the ending? We're saying, holy shit, have you seen this fucking crab walk?
Right.
Yeah.
It's strange. I always wonder about it in terms of movies. Like, I don't really consume movie media. Like, yeah. I love film, right? It's like one of my biggest passions. But I don't really listen to podcasts or read like news about film all that much. So I watched like, I guess, The Hateful Eight last month for the first time. I'd never watched it, right?
I loved it.
And Jeremy, my camera op, told me, you got to sit down and watch it. Put time aside, 3 hours, go do it.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I absolutely loved it. But it felt fresh when I watched it.
Mm.
When I play a game that came out 2 years ago, it doesn't feel fresh. And I'm not sure if that's because of the technology reasons where you can kind of spot a game that came out two years ago.
Sure.
Or I'm not sure if it's because I'm so involved in the conversation in games as everyone else is who's watching that I feel like I'm late to the party.
Well, it's not even late to the party as much as you feel like, and this is a shitty thing to say, but am I wasting my time? Because like games aren't, for the most part, movies, right? You set aside 3 hours and that's great.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, am I really going to set aside 15, whatever it's going to be to play through this thing when I could be playing all these other pieces that are right now relevant? And that's always the thing with backlogs for me in particular, since I started at IGN, the fact that it's just you steamroll ahead and eventually there are games on my shelf that I'm just like, yeah, I would have loved to have really sunk time into that. It's never going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, maybe in a different world where I wasn't doing this, then yeah, why would I care if I'm playing The Crew now? You know what I mean? Jumping into it. But otherwise, it's like, no.
Like, and there are loads of people who, like, especially when I worked in retail, I'd noticed that, like, you had the people who bought games 9 months out. Like, they waited until that price drop happened, and then they played it. And if they're not consuming a million news articles about that game, it's probably
who cares? That's a great deal. Yeah. Totally. Well, Game of the Year editions are awesome ideas if you can wait till the Game of the Year edition. Yeah, of course.
Buy Hitman.
Buy Hitman,
play
everybody.
Hitman. God damn it, that game. So good.
I never did.
Oh, it's so good.
Sorry, I'm part of the problem. Host their panels. I like the guys.
I mean, they were part of the problem as well. Why? In the way that the marketing around the whole thing 3 months beforehand.
Yeah, that was awkward. It was when they changed it. We're going to go episodic. And it was like, oh, God.
Too late.
Yeah, exactly. No, if they would have done it from the start. And that's the thing is like, but I mean, like, that is a great example of a game that eventually that helped them. Right. It was like Giant Bomb like talked about them for an entire year.
Literally why I ended up playing. Yeah. I'm a fan of Hitman. I played every game.
Yeah.
But that was what did it.
Nathaniel Gold writes in and says, "Hello, Greg and Danny. After yesterday's news about No Man's Sky,
No Man's Sky.
Do you ever see it coming to PlayStation Network Plus? Or he means PlayStation Plus.
Right.
I feel like after all the lost fans, this would be one of the only way to maybe get people talking about the game again, and also maybe generate some more revenue. Don't know if it will ever happen, but I personally, he says, and then again, in a separate word, ally, think it would be a good move at this point. Thanks for everything you guys do. Love the new content. Thanks for loving it, Nathan. Mm-hmm. Or Nathaniel. I don't think they'll ever do that.
I think that's a good idea. I don't think it'll ever happen.
I think that PlayStation, I as an outsider, I don't think wants to touch this game with a 10-foot pole.
Agreed.
Because it would be that, like, sure, that would be a great way to get people to give it another shot, maybe.
Yeah.
But it would be, motherfucker, I already paid for this game at launch, and you ripped me off. Yeah. This thing's broken. Sean Murray lied. Blah, 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 blah. Like, the well is poisoned on No Man's Sky.
Yeah. They don't open that kind of worms again.
Exactly.
Sony don't, especially.
So, what we talked about yesterday. Keep working on it. Keep making patches. Keep going to your subreddit and make that game for them.
I think that would really benefit No Man's Sky, but yeah, probably not. Not gonna happen.
Chip Punisher says, "Hi, Greg. I was wondering what you thought of the end of Telltale's The Walking Dead Season 3. Heard you say you hadn't finished the final chapter a few weeks ago, just seeing if you beat it. Love the show. For my morning commute to work, smiley emoticon. Thank
la,
you,
la, la,
Chip.
La, la, la.
I won't ruin it. All right, how far have you played any
I've
of
literally not played any of Season 3.
Did you play 2?
Yes.
Okay. Because there's always a thing where people are like, I didn't play 3. I'm like, oh, great. What'd you think of 2? Like, I didn't play that either. I'm like, okay, well, that's weird. I don't want to spoil anything. I'm not. Okay. It's not a spoiler thing. It's what I appreciated about Walking Dead season 3 was the fact that hey, do you know the thrust of it? Of like,
I saw the trailer.
You're playing as a new character, and you only play as Clem in flashbacks.
Yeah.
So like, Clem is a character in this guy's world, but you're doing it. Found it super refreshing to be somebody new, because suddenly there wasn't the baggage of like what my Clem is and how my Clem's been formed and who I think my Clem is. So it was like, man, this guy who is his brother in this story, but I don't know from Adam, is a dick. So I'm going to be a dick to him. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those, like, there was more fresh choices again, I felt like, rather than me being like, no, that's not how my Clem would do this. You know what I mean? I was learning who it is. And throughout that game in true Telltale fashion, like, my choices evolved. And at the end of it, I have a different opinion on some of the characters than I did in the beginning. Right. Mm. The problem was I hated having Clem around. And in episode 1, it was actually kind of cool. Well, maybe it was episode 2, because remember that episode 1 and 2 came out at the same time.
Right.
It was actually really fascinating of, I thought they were toying with me, because it would be that it was a choice to make. And my family, the guy's family, who he's known forever, saying, do it. And then Clem's saying, no. And nice. I'm like, well, I'll do what Clem says. And like, the family's like, why are you listening to us? Why are you listening to this? And I'm like, man, it would be awesome if Clem's taking me down a path of destruction. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to get to the end and be like, you shouldn't listen to her. Like, she's horrible or something like that. And of course, they didn't. And I think, spoilers, I guess, that Clem isn't going to kill you. I don't know if anybody really thought that. But you get to the end of it. And for me, it was like, finished it, put it down. And I had this, like, melancholy about it,
right?
Because I don't like being that guy ever, but I really do feel like the longer they keep making The Walking Dead about Clem, the more it takes away from season 1,
right?
Where season 1 came out of left field, none of us were expecting it, was a punch in the face, holy shit, this is awesome. And season 2 was good. I enjoyed season 2 as well. I didn't like the choices at the end necessarily. I thought they could have gone more fucked up and more Walking Dead about it, because it was that thing of like, this isn't what, none of these choices are what my Clem would do,
right?
I digress. But every time you do it and give me more of that character, I feel like it waters it down more of what happened. I would have loved to have been, hey, this is Clem's story or Lee's story involving Clem. Doom. We're done. We're not coming back to it. We're not going to not give a chance to fuck it up, because they don't fuck it up at any point. But right. It's just the more I get this, the less special that felt, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? Am I being weird?
No, okay. I can see that. Where they're like, it seems like they're riffing on something in the past rather than carving out new ground.
And so this was the first one where, you know, like when I finished 400 Days with that interstitial thing they did between season 1 and season 2,
okay.
It was like, oh, that was fine, but it was throwaway, whatever. Like, and of course they're like, well, it'll play into your choice. Like what? A couple different characters show up in season, like in backgrounds, whatever. This one was the same way of like, I finished it. I was like, all right, I don't regret not playing that or anything like that, but it definitely didn't push the story forward,
right.
Especially because I only give a shit about Clem. And so Clem's biggest question mark there at the end of this isn't really answered for me, where it's like, oh, so I guess season 4 would be about this and that, you know, like, all right. But it was like,
does it look that way as well? The 4 would have to resolve the ending of this.
I mean, no, it's not that, because this is Javier's story, right? And like, Javier's story for the most part is resolved, you know what I mean? Like, but then it's still like, well, if I had questions about Clem's story, those aren't, and I do, because she's the character I care about. Yeah. She's the star of this, no matter
anyone who's playing the third season of this game is also gonna have.
Yeah,
maybe that was their way of trying to have their cake and eat it. Where I like, think so. You know, new character, but also here's the baggage for everyone else.
And I think that's the thing of like, it would have been more interesting, I feel like, and now that we're here and we're looking down the barrel of, I assume they're gonna do season 4 at some point. But it strikes me a lot of now looking back of how I feel about Fear the Walking Dead on AMC.
Okay.
Do you ever watch the show?
No, I've never watched it. I love the Walking Dead show. I've never watched Fear the Walking Dead.
I watched season 1 and I thought it wasn't great. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. You know what I mean? But then they're still doing Fear the Walking Dead. I don't watch it anymore, because I'm just like, well, it's just the Walking Dead again now. You know what I mean? And my pitch for Fear the Walking Dead as it happened would have been and would continue to be, Fear the Walking Dead should be as many seasons as you want it to be, but every season is in a new city. And it always starts from the zombie outbreak is starting. What are we going to do? And then by the end, we get to a place. And I feel like...
Is it set in Atlanta?
No, it's actually in LA.
Okay.
And it's, and so I would have loved to have seen Fear the Walking Dead. It should have been Fear the Walking Dead LA, and it should have been Fear the Walking Dead Chicago, and Fear the Walking Dead Montreal. You know what I mean?
It's a lot cheaper to film in LA.
I know. But do that, and now that I'm here with Walking Dead, I feel the same way, where it is like, all right, like, I don't...
Well, there's all this room you have to tell interesting stories.
Exactly,
and you're on that
we keep
laser focus.
Going on this Clem thing, and it's like, well, but like... Now she just feels like a video game character, whereas before that felt like more. And that sounds so fucking stupid to say, but that's how Walking Dead season 1 was. And the more I see of her, the less like, oh, right. You know what I mean? Like
it felt like one story in this big thing, yeah. Whereas now it just feels like it's all about this mm-hmm. one story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn. So,
yeah. Yeah. But it still plays. I mean, I thought season 3 was fine. It was fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the choices were interesting as always.
Beautiful singing voice.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, here we go. Final one's coming from Chronos 12. After your discussion of upcoming indie games on Tuesday's show, I was surprised to hear no mention of an upcoming release on PlayStation 4. In 2015, a PC indie game made by one guy was in the running for Game of the Year. That game was Undertale. Is anyone on the Kinda Funny crew excited for this release?
Not a fan of that.
Really?
I'm not a fan of it. It's just, it's riffing on a video game world that I did not grow up playing.
Which one is? Here's the thing about Undertale is it was, oh, it's a PC darling. It's doing all these different things.
Right.
2015 was a busy year for us. You know what I mean? And I totally did not have time to go. It wasn't like traditional IGN. Because IGN used to be, this is what the Game of the Year nominees are, and you would make sure you played all of them. Not to completion, but you play and know what it is.
Right.
So Undertale, I've heard nothing but good things about. And then when they were finally like, oh, it's coming here, I was like, I'll play it eventually, but I don't even know what the fuck the game is.
It's like a dungeon crawly NES throwback kind of thing.
Okay.
From what I remember hearing about it, like Jeremy, again, my camera op, not to keep mentioning him, like he's the only friend I have. he loves this as well. And he says it like it's a, brings him back. It's like a riff on the games he grew up playing and stuff. And I grew up European. I grew up playing Commodore Amiga. Not that we didn't have the NES, but like a lot of us had that sort of early video game life. And I just never...
Sure.
Like I watched some videos of people playing it. And I was like, oh, that looks really cool, but just not for me.
It's similar to, I think, Stardew Valley, where everybody's so crazy about that. And Joey Noel is insane about Stardew Valley, right?
Big
and
Harvest Moon fans.
And when it finally got to PlayStation, I was like, awesome. And I started it and it didn't click for me immediately and I got distracted and I've been off on something else.
Same thing. I played about 3 hours of that and was like, cool, not for me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's the thing. I respect you being into it. I totally. Mm. So yeah, Undertale, I'm interested to see what it is. I know people love it, but I don't have, none of us I think are like dying to play it.
Yeah, that affinity. Whereas like if a Desert Strike, somebody made a new Desert Strike,
kidding me?
Desert Strike, all over that shit.
Oh yeah, of course.
So good. Any of them. Soviet Strike, Urban Strike.
You just want to strike things.
I just want to fucking strike things. Just set a reach.
Thank God you fucking don't have your shillelagh. You know what I mean? Right?
It's in the next room.
I like that. Yeah, it's like mounted up there now on top of the shelf or whatever. Yeah.
Someone else did.
No, it's a sign of respect. Danny.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and figure out over on kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong what we've missed. While you do that, I'm going to hit up the squad up button. Mm. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be part of the show. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You can leave your questions there. You can leave your PSN names there, your Steam names, your Xbox names, your goddamn Switch codes. You can even make up your own segments. I'll put them on the air. Watch me. I'm crazy. For squad up today, longtime Kind of Funny best friend, my dog Nick 96 wrote in. I'm going to spell it. This is his PSN name. MADOGNIK 96. My dog Nick on PSN. Of course, when you do this, you submit your name, you submit your PSN name, and then your reason why you need... Yeah, why you want friends.
It's very important. Yeah.
My dog Nick 96 explanation for why he needs PSN friends. I don't know. I play games sometimes.
That's
there you go.
Brutally honest.
My dog Nick.
Yeah.
He's been around a long time. He's been asking questions a long time on all the shows.
21 years has been around. I guess.
So everybody go friend him on PSN. Send him love.
Go do it.
Thing. All right, what did we get wrong, Nate?
Oh, my God. Tony Reilly says, Patriots owner Robert Kraft is not the Kraft Foods guy, as Andy put it. Robert Kraft is the chairman and CEO of the Kraft Group and is not affiliated with Kraft Foods at all. There's two rich Kraft people?
Really? I didn't know that at all.
Jesus Christ. Just for the record, Andrew Goldfarb will, in fact, be at Pokemon Go Fest.
Will he really?
Here's a link to a tweet in which Andrew Goldfarb says...
I'll be in Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago next week. Jesus Christ,
oh,
Goldfarb.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. Hey, he's consistent.
Man, if you want to on-brand something, jeez.
It's amazing. For Greg, because he read the list, Iron Cryptical came out yesterday, July 11th. Energy Balance. Sorry, that was from Lighting Hat. Snarky Starky again. Snarky Starky is always
Trevor Starky. Everybody, Jesus. He's hustling.
Energy Balance does have a platinum trophy as well as 8 golds, 7 silvers, and 5 bronzes.
Thank you.
As to Lighting Hat, Iron Cryptical came to PSN yesterday. Oh, sorry, you already got that. And the last one. It's not a mistake. It's an omission. How do you feel about that?
Hold on.
It's kind of a mistake.
Wait, hold on. He said Iron Cryptical came to PSN yesterday.
Correct. Xbox, I was talking Xbox today.
Exactly. I read it for Xbox One. I was right. You were wrong, motherfucker.
Matt Dowse with the last one. Less a mistake, more of an omission, but there's also a Pokemon Go event happening in Cheshire, too.
That's a made up place.
Cheshire.
No.
Cheshire.
That's where that cat comes
Cheshire.
From.
Cheshire. That's where, yeah. As you'd say, Cheshire. Yeah, that's where the cat's from.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, July 12, 2017. Thank you for joining us. Remember, housekeeping stuff right now on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. There's a new party mode up. It would mean a lot if you went and watched it. We spent a lot of money getting Andy, so we need to get all the views out of his content we can. remember, this show is recorded live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, so you can check it out each and every weekday. If you're in the chat, hang out. I'll read subs and tips after we go off the air here. Remember, you can get the show on youtube.com/kindafunnygames each and every afternoon, along with podcast services around the globe. No matter where you watch it, it would mean a lot to me if you went and rated and subscribed and did all that stuff for the other channels, because it helps get the word out that we have this cool show that we want other people to watch.
Do it.
Tomorrow, Danny will be here again.
I'll see you then,
continuing
buddy.
Continuing the week of Danny O'Dwyer, my Irish cream.
Cream week.
Next week is when Andrea returns, and for like the first time...
She's the sugar. I'm the cream.
Oh. It's just, it's all wrong. Am I the coffee?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Spray your cream all over me, Danny O'Dwyer. Next week will be the week where you actually see how the show, I think we dreamed it up looking, instead of it always being crazy and weird. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.